Hi, I'm Patrick Manning at Black Desert Resort. We are proud sponsors of Beyond the Game. I recognize that wins aren't always measured by points. Scoreboards don't always define champions, but the story this athlete has to tell, it does. This is why Black Desert Golf Course is proud to sponsor Beyond the Game to share this inspiring story with you. Please enjoy.
Listening to the Utah Checkdown Podcast. And now your host, Josh Furlong.
Welcome back to another edition of the Utah Checkdown Podcast. I am Josh Furlong, and we're coming back to you after the spring game. So, we're going to talk a little bit about that. I do have a special guest with me today, and I'll introduce him in just a minute. But first, I wanted to tell you a little bit about our partners at Black Desert, who are helping us with the KSL.com Beyond the Game video series. The videos highlight various athletes and give us an inside look into their life. Recently, we talked with former Utah great Eric Weddle about his life after the NFL. You can check out that video and many others on KSL.com. Black Desert is a new resort destination in St. George that features a championship Tom Weisskopf 19-hole golf course that combines a private club feel with the destination resort golf amid lava fields and 360-degree vistas. Black Desert is changing entertainment in southern Utah, and they're just beginning. Black Desert, where remarkable is within reach, home of the Black Desert Championship PGA Tour. All right, so bringing on our special guest today. This guest is somebody that if you follow Utah, you probably know. He's a man of many sources. He beat Woj at his own game yesterday. So, you know, he's just everywhere. The one and only Steve Bartle. What's up, man?
What up, Josh? Man, you could repeat that sentence over and over and it'll never get old, man.
Did you ever think you would beat Woj at something?
No, never.
Especially something that wasn't even your beat.
No, like, it's crazy, man. I was talking with somebody else about that whole thing, talking about Kevin Young being announced as the head coach at BYU. Man, you never know what sort of, you know, relationships you build over, you know, over the course of time, who's going to actually, you know, emerge as valuable info. But I knew the right guy. And he was adamant it was going to be Kevin Young. So shout out to that source.
That's awesome. Steve has a lot of sources. And obviously those that listen to this podcast and follow Utah know that Steve is well connected. So keep following him. He's a great asset. That's right. Now for our paid commercial for Steve Bartle. No, I'm just kidding. He paid me to say all that. No,
I did.
Yeah. Yeah. All that money you're rolling in on, you know. Anyways, so there was something that happened last weekend. We had the 22 Forever game. It's a spring game for Utah. And obviously spring games are, you know, they are what they are. They're fun. They're an opportunity to be able to see some players that maybe you haven't seen or to kind of shake off the rust of some players that have been out, you know, namely like a Cam Rising, who obviously missed a whole season. But this was a fun opportunity. I think, you know, going into this game, it was perfect weather. We knew that we were going to get a little bit of Cam. We actually made a little bet to see how many series that he would get. I think we all kind of lost in some respects. I think we still took the over, but he took three. So,
what do we say? 1.5?
I think so. I think 1.5 was our line, and he went 3. So, oh, well.
Yeah.
If we hit the over, we're fine. It's fine. You know, I mean, it's comfortable.
It's fine. Nobody's complaining about that.
You're not sweating, you know. But let's start there with Cam. Obviously, you know, I don't think anybody doubted his ability, but coming off of a surgery like that where, you know, maybe you're a little, hesitant and, you know, you want to see him kind of make progress. Kind of what was your overall impression of him? Knowing that this is spring game, I believe you're better at this than me, but I think the defense was running a cover two, just a pretty basic vanilla type defense to keep things simple. But what was your overall impressions of Cam?
Yeah, so it's hard to talk just about the spring game considering, you know, we've got to see practices and you know, we got to see a scrimmage as well. And so to take it all in, like, look great. you know, from the first time we saw him this spring, right? He threw the touchdown, you know, as we're walking back there. And you're just like, okay, like he's still got it. You know, it's the scene from Hangover talking about Mike Tyson. You know, he's still got it. You know, it's that sort of thing, right? And but seeing him on Saturday, you know, in that spring game, you know, it was just good to see, right? We've talked so much about Cam over the last year with everything going on. I think for a lot of fans, it was really good for every fan, basically. It was just good to see him out there, good to see him running around. You know, he had that scramble, he got out to the right, came back to the left, threw the touchdown pass, and you're just like, that's Cam. Like that's the guy that we've all been wanting to see. And so it was good. Yeah, you know, it was a pretty vanilla defense, and the good thing there is you saw Cam, you know, he knows where to attack, he knows where to go, and was very efficient, made a variety of throws, which I thought was good to see. You know, he threw it deep, threw it short, threw it intermediate with some touch, with some velocity. Saw a lot of different things from him. So, you know, overall, you have to feel encouraged about what we saw from Cam, you know, on Saturday, but also, you know, over the course of spring ball.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like a breath of fresh air, right? After sitting there watching that whole fall camp, not fall camp, but just fall in general, it was just like a slog fest, right? Like trying to figure out how to get through the season. And Utah obviously succeeded in what they were able to do overall. They didn't have the season they wanted, but they still comparatively did well. But just watching Cam out there, it's just a different feel. Like, and it's always been that way with Cam, you know? Once he gets on the field, there's something different. The mindset, the play. I mean, he had that connection with Dorian Singer like they'd been playing for years together, you know? And then all of a sudden he opens it back up to Brant Keithy, and you're reminiscent of those times where he's hitting it up the seam and, you know, easily getting Keithy. So, I mean, it was a lot of fun to be able to kind of witness that. And sure, it's a base defense. It's not anything special. But like you said, Cam can diagnose what needs to happen, and he's going to make mistakes, right? Like, Cam's not perfect by any means. But I think one thing that separates him is his IQ. He understands that playbook. He understands where the ball needs to go. Doesn't mean it will always go there, but pretty cool to see. And I think that bodes really well for Utah going into fall. So, but with that, you've got two other quarterbacks, and I think those were kind of more the main storylines of what we were looking at. I think going into that, we were joking about how quote-unquote sacks aren't going to be counted in this because they're not allowed to be hit. But for the most part, I didn't actually see many sacks, if at all. These guys actually, you know, were decent in the pocket. You know, maybe there's a few, and guys on the defense are going to pursue a little harder, obviously, if this was a real game. But this was a situation where you had two quarterbacks that were battling it out against each other. For me, I was left really impressed with Isaac Wilson, and that's hard to say because I've been impressed with him since he was at Corner Canyon. So
going out on a limb there.
A hot take coming through. But I think, you know, I think I was more impressed just simply because, you know, you're coming into this D1 experience, and yes, it's a spring game, but there was a difference with him. It's kind of like Cam, right, where there's a lot of composure, there's confidence, but you talk to Isaac outside of that, and he's very humble. He understands he's not the player that he needs to be to compete at Utah. But there was a lot of made plays with him. You know, he's attacking the field. He's obviously one of those guys that he's gonna try to hit those windows. That's always been his kind of playmaking ability. But what were your impression of the two quarterbacks, and kind of how did you see that split divided between them?
Yeah, I mean, I'll sit out on that limb with you on Isaac. Was very impressed.
Very tough
with what we saw.
We're gonna be the only ones there, you know, by the way.
I know. It's just us. It's just us on the perch. Yeah. You know. Just us. Nobody else was impressed. Nobody knows what they're talking about. No, I'm just, you know, it was fun to watch Isaac because, you know, we've heard a lot of good things. We've heard things about his play, his development. And I think the thing that, you know, I was most encouraged by was sort of that gunslinger mentality that we saw from him, that willingness to make throws for a freshman, right? Like, you're coming in, you're seeing defenses that you have not seen, you know, over the course of your football career. You're seeing, you know, it's cover two, but you're seeing the linebacker drop, safety come, like you're just seeing so many different things. And there's just, you know, there's levels to this. And yet we saw Isaac, you know, understanding that, you know, this it's cover two. He knows where to go with the ball. And where we saw Cam, you know, hit the sideline over and over again, you know, we saw Isaac attack the middle of the field And, you know, he made some great throws, a couple throws that got, you know, some reactions out of us, and I'm sure the fans as well, as he pushed the ball up the seam. And it was just, it was good to see those qualities, right? The willingness to make those throws, the ability and the understanding of where to go with the ball. And, you know, just the accuracy, the velocity on the throws, like it was just good to see all of that. So you feel, you come away feeling really, really excited about Isaac and his future, understanding that, you know, he was going against third stringers and walk-ons and that sort of thing. This is still a process for him. So as long as we keep that perspective, right? Like, hell yeah, let's hype Isaac up as long as we keep that perspective, yeah, right? Exactly. You know, and then with Brandon, you know, he didn't have the throws that Isaac or Cam made, but he took care of the ball and he avoided, you know, making mistakes. And, you know, we saw athleticism that I didn't know he had. He got out of the pocket a couple times and, you know, he's got an arm. We know that much. He can make throws. I think if he gets that first throw he made, which was broken up by Nate Ritchie over the middle of the field, I think we see, you know, a little different performance from Brandon. And so for him, you know, it's just a matter of continuing to take care of the ball, continuing to, you know, make progress and that sort of thing. But you come away just feeling good about where Utah's at with the quarterback situation. You know, there's still a focus on adding another quarterback through the portal, which will help, you know, the competition going into fall and that sort of thing, if assuming they bring another one in. But you come away feeling better about, you know, the here and now, but the future more so with Isaac.
Yeah, things look much more stable this year. But I will say, yeah, you know, Isaac, I mean, if Isaac is the backup quarterback in fall, I mean, that means he's made tremendous stride. But I think, mm-hmm, you know, Brandon is still kind of that guy that they're tabbing for that backup spot, at least initially, to be able to make sure that they have somebody in the room that has experience, right?
Absolutely, right? You want to hang on to these guys, right? Like that's the thing. Like you want to hang on to these guys, a guy that has 3 years in the system, you know, that's valuable. Regardless of where that value is, like it's still value, and there's a lot of understanding of the offense, and so it's just a matter of, you know, him continuing to not settle in, but just continuing to make progress and grow. And, you know, I'm fascinated to see, you know, what sort of impact the new offensive analyst will have. You know, he's essentially a second quarterback coach, you know, with his experience and his resume. And so what sort of impact does that have on, you know, guys like Brandon and guys like Isaac and whoever else is in that room, to learn from another guy, another voice, another teacher? That'll be really, really interesting to see.
Yeah, and I'm curious with Brandon, because obviously in fall, you know, Kyle was pretty adamant that he wasn't ready, right? He wasn't ready, especially in the Las Vegas Bowl, that he didn't have what it takes to be able to be on the field. And that was a pretty jarring comment to me, considering how inept Utah's offense was in that game. And I understand a lot of this is confidence, right? If you're not getting that first read, you know, we saw with some other quarterbacks that if they're not getting that first read, Utah really struggled. So I'm curious to see how Brandon takes that. I will say I didn't think he showed as much confidence in this game as maybe the year before, but I also think that he knew Cam wasn't really kind of an option at that point, and so he could kind of be more confident. But in that same vein, Isaac went in there with a lot of confidence. So I think I'm curious where Brandon's headspace is. And it's funny because he's not lacking confidence, right? You talk to the guy and he's got as much confidence as anybody, but like I'm not seeing that on the field. And so that gives me still some pause of where Brandon can be. Can he make that progress to be able to get there? You know, barring Cam doesn't play for whatever reason, is Brandon that guy? Can he be that guy to be able to do that? None of us know, right? I mean, we can sit here and pontificate today and say, oh yeah, I think he's made the necessary steps. Until you get in that spotlight, it's hard to know. So I don't know. I'm really curious to see what that progression is going to be like.
Yeah, he's got that Mr. Steal Your Girl confidence, right? Like he just carries himself, you know,
he might in that steal sort your of manner too, honestly.
You know, but that's interesting that you bring up the last year's spring game, right? Because we saw him throw the ball around a little bit more, quite a bit more than what we saw this season. So, you know, to see, I think that's still it's a sign of development and understanding of, you know, taking care of the ball, the importance of that. you just have to find that balance of, you know, being, of protecting the ball, managing the game, but also the willingness and the confidence to make throws when you need to. I think that's kind of where we're at with Brandon, is he's got to find the balance between those two qualities, those two dynamics. And if he can do that, you know, and that's, I'm sure that'll be something that he works on, you know, over the next couple of months. But, you know, we've seen a little bit of both from him, both sides of the spectrum at quarterback. And so it's certainly in him. He's just got to find that balance.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think part of that is just him getting comfortable, right? I think comfortable in the offense, understanding the playbook, understanding progressions, not just trying to rely on that first read and then expecting that it to go perfect every single time, because obviously it doesn't. So I'm curious to see how this goes. This offseason, I think, is going to be big for him. At least it can be, and maybe it's not. And Utah's in a world of hurt, you know, behind Cam. But I think at least right now, Utah's set obviously with Cam and the abilities that they have there. And, you know, if they do need to use Isaac's not going to shy away from the moment by any means. It's just a matter of understanding everything. They're going to have to simplify things a little bit for him. But that'll be interesting. Yep. Obviously, we're not going to get into everything related to spring game. And quite honestly, there really wasn't anything outside of a lot of that offense. The defense really didn't have much to showcase. So turning from that a little bit, are there any concerns that you have? And concerns, maybe not necessarily the right word. I think this team is pretty well established. I think they've got a lot of consistency throughout all of its position groups heading into the Big 12. But is there any kind of nagging feeling that you have of concern going into the offseason, transfer portal season, trying to get guys, that kind of stuff that you feel like Utah needs to address?
You know, Josh, if there's one position group that I would want to see Utah address, you know, outside of, right, you want to see him bring another quarterback in. Mm-hmm. But for me, I think the position would be cornerback for me. You know, just in the Big 12, you're going to see a lot of pass heavy offenses. You're going to see a lot of, you know, multiple receiver sets. Was really, really encouraged with what we saw from Kenan Johnson, from Cameron Calhoun, the two transfers that you brought in. I love what we saw from them. You know, Kenan Johnson made plays. He had a couple really impressive interceptions over the course of spring ball. And so feel good about, you know, the depth that they have at the top, you know, with Zamaya Vaughn, Kenan Johnson, Smith Snowden, Cam Calhoun, you know, in that mix, you know, and then you still got Elijah Davis and you still have CJ Blocker. But I think Utah would really do a lot for themselves if they could add one more cornerback to that room. I think that would go a long way to shoring up the depth there. They are bringing in three freshman cornerbacks, but, you know, if you're a team that's looking to compete for conference championship, you want as much quality depth as you possibly can have. And so, you know, that alleviates the need for one of those freshmen to step up. It becomes a luxury if they do at that point. But I would like to see Utah add another cornerback for sure. That would probably be at the top of my list as we go into the transfer portal window.
Yeah, that's always kind of been the position group that I've kind of focused in on as I've been watching this go. I'm not necessarily worried as much about the front end guys, right? The guys that are obviously proven. It's more just the depth. And as we saw last year with injuries and everything, you need that depth. And more importantly, you're just, these guys aren't playing, you know, every single snap, right? Like, yeah, they may be listed as the starter, but Shaw likes to run with four guys pretty regularly, three guys. You know, you want to be able to have guys where you're not going to miss a beat. You want to be able to have that depth to be able to compete. And so I think, you know, they have the guys to be able to do that, but you miss one of those. One of them gets injured or multiple get injured. That's where I start to see, like, Utah kind of the weakness. And as we've seen in years past, if that corner room isn't hitting, that can be a real dangerous thing for Utah. Obviously, they can move some players around and try to help that bit a little bit, but this is something that it would completely change Morgan Scalley's defense. I mean, years ago when Clark Phillips was a freshman, they were doing a lot more coverage type defense, right? Like, they weren't in the full man-to-man, and they still use coverages. It's not like you're completely away from that, but they had to simplify a lot of that stuff, try to keep things easy for guys so that they weren't making those mistakes, and they just kind of had to limit that. So I don't know. To me, that's kind of the most important. Kind of going off of that, maybe wide receiver. I know Kyle said that they wanted add another one in the portal. And, you know, obviously he has his eyes on some guys, but to me, this feels like a very pass heavy offense this year. Now, I don't know what that split's going to be, and I don't know if it'll actually fully get there. But the more proven guys you can bring in there, especially on a year where Cam is going to be one of the top quarterbacks in the country, you know, go for it. Get those guys, yeah. Get the proven guys. And look, that's compared to the corner, I don't think that's a huge need. But I think if you can continue to build those guys, you know, obviously you're not going to get the Dorian Singers every single time, but if you can find some other guys to provide some solid depth, to kind of push the room a little bit, I think that helps a ton.
I'm with you there, right? Like, Cam has this offense, like, he's got it down, like, the back of his hand. Like, he knows the intricacies. He knows everything you need to know about this offense. And so to have a quarterback with that understanding of the offense, you know, he's going to get you in the right situations 90% of the time. That's going to end up getting a lot of guys involved. And we saw that, you know, on Saturday. I think he completed passes to like 7 different receivers, you know, in that short span that he was on the field. And so, you know, Utah's, they've got a lot of guys that they can throw to right now, right? Dorian, Money, Brandt, Landon, you know, we can continue to go down the list. And that's exciting. And if you add another one to that mix, it just makes your strength, you're just strengthening your strength is what it looks like right now. So, you know, it'll be interesting. And I, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, over the years about the offense and what it's going to look like. I genuinely think this offense will look different than what we've seen in years past. We'll still see a lot of multiple tight end sets, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see the run pass splits, you know, over the course of the season. We saw 57 passes to 23 rushing attempts on Saturday. Like, hell yeah. Give us a lot of that. Give us 60 passing attempts a game. Maybe not that many.
Sure.
But, you know, let's throw the ball around a little bit and let's have some fun, get guys involved. You know, if you add another receiver or two, maybe a tight end, that would be great. There's going to be a lot of options for Cam to throw to. And, you know, while we're on this, right, with Coley Faiyu hitting the transfer portal, you know, that becomes potentially an area of need for Utah as we get into the portal as well, right? Coley was very much in the mix for the starting job at center. He was battling with Jaron Kump and Alex Harrison. Johnny Maia still in the mix as well, and he will be once he gets back this summer. But he hit the portal yesterday, and so, you know, he's, despite the competition there, you know, he was still considered a top 10 offensive lineman in the group. So, you know, Utah probably wants to hit the portal and look for an offensive lineman that can come in and help them there at that center spot as well.
And they have some guys that can fill in there, right? I mean, Jaron Kump also can fill in there if he needs to. And I think that was maybe some of the inconsistencies last year, too, was with Faiyu. You know, there were some botched snaps at times. And so, I mean, I think maybe he's just trying to look for a situation that he feels comfortable in. And I mean, as much as we want to hype up this offense, and I think this year's offense is probably the most diverse in terms of just everything that they have and exciting, that I think if you can't get that offensive line right, I mean, this becomes an issue, right? And I think, you know, center is obviously one of the hardest positions in football. But I don't worry about what Jim Harding has there, especially because of what he has on the end, right? His guards and tackles are pretty phenomenal. He feels really confident about that. They've got a lot of talent there. So I don't think they're going to be worried, but I think that's still an area of concern. If you can't get that center position down, the guy that's supposed to be speaking to everybody and understanding that offense, that can hurt, you know? And Cam's going to get these guys right too, right? I mean, they have that connection and everything's going to be okay, but... I'm curious to see how that goes.
That center spot is essentially the point guard of the offensive line, right? Mm-hmm. Like he's so important for everybody else. It's a unique position because you got the ball in your hand. You got to snap it. You got to identify defenses and blocking schemes and call it out. And so, you know, that's an important position. But as you said, feel really good about what they have at guard and tackle, right? Particularly at tackle with Caleb Lomu and Spencer Fauna, what they have on the edges there. Very unique guys, the sort of athletes that they haven't had at those positions in a really long time. So you feel really good about that, but you know you probably want to add a center through the transfer portal if you can and get that spot shored up.
One other area that I want to chat with you about is running back. And it's been kind of that quiet position group that we haven't talked a lot about, and which is kind of funny considering Utah and kind of their stable of running backs that happened throughout the years. But you do have proven guys like Mekhi Bernard. You have Jalen Glover coming back. Mike Mitchell's obviously getting a lot of praise. But do you see any worry in this position group? And not worry in the sense that Utah's not going to be productive, but do you think Utah needs to try to get back to that level where they do have a proven every down type back, or do you like the running back committee thing? What's kind of your take on that?
I mean, if you can get an every down back, right, a guy that can do everything, yeah, you always want one of those. But as Coach Quinton Ganther said in our media availability, you know, those guys cost a pretty penny, essentially. So, you know, it is what it is. And right with the running back position, you know, you see it in the NFL, right? Just the cost, the price, the salaries that these guys are getting are not anywhere where they used to be, because the game is just so much different, and that running back position is so much different as well. You know, but with Utah and that running back spot, you feel good about the depth that they have, right? You feel good about them being four or five deep. You feel really good about that. Mekhi Bernard has put on 5-10 pounds. He looked, you know, noticeably bigger. He does a lot of little nuanced things that I think go unnoticed and underappreciated. And it's just the sort of thing you don't expect fans to pick up on, but just understanding, you know, play calls and what he's looking at and how he's able to identify opportunities.
Pass blocking.
You know, he's really good in that sense. Yeah. Pass blocking. He's the guy that they trust the most, you know, in pass protection and pass catching as well. So in terms of like, you know, having an every down back, Mekhi is that guy. He can do everything, right? Every down. You know, but you still, we're so used to seeing Utah have, you know, those bigger backs, the guys that can just carry the ball, you know, 25, 30 times even. And, you know, Utah may not have that on the roster. Maybe they do. But you know, it's not clear at this point that they have that yet. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I know that there's probably some interest in adding a running back to the room. And, you know, we'll see what that looks like. But yeah, I think you should feel really confident in what they have, you know, with the group and the versatility that each of these guys bring and the different dynamics that they bring to the table. But I do think you'd probably like to see Utah, you know, add another guy to that mix.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I think, you know, maybe a Mike Mitchell type guy can be that lead guy in terms of just his physical frame, right? You know, obviously he's got to get into the system a little bit more and obviously a little bit of the classroom as well. But Quinton's not a little shy about that. But
no, he's not.
Kind of unrelated to this, though, like I've been kind of fascinated by this year where, you know, in years past, spring has always kind of been that time where Kyle Whittingham kind of lets loose. He's a little more free. He seems a little bit more relaxed. He's like a little bit punchy. This year, he seems completely all business, right? Like at practices, at the spring game, everything from the beginning of it to the very end, he's very much so in kind of like in-season mode. Do you see that? Do you kind of get that? And if so, why do you think that's kind of what his mentality is right now? Is it the Big 12? Is it something else? What kind of pressures do you think he's facing right now?
With Kyle?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think there's, you know, he sees it, the team sees it, right? There's an opportunity to come in to the Big 12 and, you know, win a conference championship. They know it's not going to be easy. You know, they know that they can't just show up and win it, you know? So they, I think, you know, there's a determination to, you know, really capitalize on the opportunity this year, because, you know, when you win your conference championship, you're going to the playoff, and that's an exciting opportunity for a program like Utah, who's, you know, they've been to two Rose Bowls now, they've won two conference championships. You add that third in a new conference and you punch your ticket to the college football playoff, that really sets you up, you know, for what's to come, right? You're trying to improve and you're trying to grow your brand and to have access to the playoff like we do now, and to for Utah to potentially, you know, punch that ticket, it would be a tremendous opportunity because of, you know, what it means in the ever-changing landscape of college sports.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like you said, he senses it. He understands that you don't get a quarterback like Cam Rising that often, right? Like,
yeah,
Cam isn't the most gifted quarterback in terms of like, oh, he can be the Michael Penix where he can just throw it downfield and hit it on a dime. But he understands that system. He's been in it. He gets everything. He can be a playmaker for it. And given what Utah has in every position group, this is a year where Utah absolutely should be talking about the playoffs, right? And this isn't just like, oh, Utah, like, you know, cute little Utah thinking that they're going to get to the playoffs. Like, this is the most real chance that they've ever had outside of maybe that 2019 season where this is a reality, right? This is so much, yeah. I don't want to say easier, because getting through a conference schedule is not easy regardless of what, you know, conference you're in. But it is easier in the sense that the access is there, right? Like you said, if you win that championship, you're in. There's no questions. There's no committee snubbing you. There's none of that kind of stuff. And so I think he's just hyper-focused on what he needs to do, right? Spring is where you start that. And if your mindset is not right in spring, you're not going to have a great offseason. Then you're not going to have a great fall. And so I think he's just feeling that pressure, not for job's sake. Obviously, he's untouchable. But I think it's just like, if he ever wants to get to the playoffs, this is now. You can't guarantee that next year. You can't guarantee that the years after. But you've got to be able to strike when the iron's hot, and that's what they have.
Absolutely. And, you know, Kyle Whittingham has been at the forefront of this conversation, you know, talking about the you know, where college football, where college sports is headed. You know, he's talked a lot about, you know, the things that we're seeing now. He's talked about, you know, months, years previous, right? And he understands what this could, the sort of impact this can have on the University of Utah. And I think he's, you know, he's trying to instill that in his team without, you know, coming out and saying it, right? Like, I think there's a real opportunity for Utah here this season, as we've talked about, the access. This is the best team that Utah has had on paper, right? Collectively, when you go through the roster 1 through 85, you feel really good about just about every spot, you know, particularly at, you know, in the two deep, you know, guys at the top of the depth chart, you feel really good about this roster. So from that perspective too, you're feeling really good. And just the opportunity to get to the playoff, you know, you could potentially host a playoff game, which would be huge, right? The opportunity to have, you know, a national stage, you know, late in the season, it does so much, not only for the football program, but for the university to have that sort of exposure. It does so much, and it has such a big impact. And, you know, so as much as it is about capitalizing and winning a conference championship, getting to the playoff, and what it means for football, you know, the impact is so much larger than that alone.
Yeah, and on top of that, it's, you know, building equity and recruiting, right? And I kind of want to shift it a little bit in recruiting, which is obviously your mainstay. This is what you're doing, and the off season is not the off season for you. If anything, it's sometimes busier in the off season. So
it's the recruiting season.
But you know, last year Utah made big strides in bringing in guys on official visits in like June, right? Which has always been kind of the time when those top end recruits are coming to programs. They're kind of making their commitments. You're getting those guys that are just like dudes, right? Like they're the guys. They obviously had a lot of success last year. This year, Utah had a couple guys at the spring game on official visits, but June 15th looks like what, like 10 or so guys right now. You know, talk to me a little bit about what June is going to look like and what this offseason looks like in terms of just official visits and why that's important for Utah.
Yeah, you know, we've seen a massive shift over the last 5-6 years in terms of the calendar, when we're seeing things, when we're seeing, you know, big points of emphasis, you know, in the recruiting realm, and when we're seeing programs make a push. And June has really become, you know, that month for programs to put together the bulk of their classes, the key, the foundation essentially of their recruiting classes, right? Last year that included, you know, Isaac Wilson committing in May, you know, later in June, right? You had Isaiah Garcia, you had Ashton, you know, Lopes. What's his name? Kenai Lopes, Hunter Andrews, David Washington. You had all these guys visiting, you know, in the month of June that ultimately committed to you. And that is in part what we've a product of the early signing period and the need to accelerate, you know, your recruiting efforts and getting an earlier push. And so what we're looking at, you know, this upcoming June, a big, big month for Utah. And that June, you know, 15th weekend is going to be a significant one. Utah is currently sitting on double digit visitors. There's a couple here that may not trip, but still double digits. And there will still probably be a couple more added to that weekend. I would expect, you know, their quarterback commit Wyatt Becker to visit, you know, that June 15th. That's still not totally official, but I would expect him to visit that weekend just because of some of the targets that Utah's bringing in. You know, a guy like Vander Plug, a tight end out of California, has really emerged as one of the top prospects at that tight end position. You're going to have Jeremy Miles, the top receiver in the state out of Corner Canyon, visiting that weekend as well. And then other guys, Darius Afalava out of Sky Ridge. He's one of the top linemen, you know, in the class, not just in the state, but in the entire class. He's going to be visiting that weekend. And so, you know, that June 15th weekend is the big one for the month of June. Utah's bringing in a lot of guys that they feel really good about. And I would expect to see Utah land a handful of commits out of that weekend alone. But then you expand it out to the rest of the month in June, and we're approaching, I think, close to 30 official visits for the month. And that's huge. That's pretty significant for Utah. You know, they want to, you know, get the bulk of their class committed, you know, in those summer months, because, you know, they know that with the opportunity, with the season that they feel they're going to have, you know, that can continue to build momentum into the season, which, you know, could potentially lead to, you know, another run like we saw a couple years ago, where you saw a lot of the in-state guys, Smith Snowden, Hunter Clegg, you saw Caleb Lomu commit, you know, in the month of December, as Utah came off their second consecutive Pac-12 championship win. You could see that same sort of thing this year, but Utah wants to get the bulk, the foundation of their class, you know, established, you know, in the month of June, in those summer months, and then just continue to roll with that moving forward into the season.
We'll wrap this up here soon, but I got one more question for you. Is there anything that Utah's done in to change in their recruiting, or is it simply kind of a combination of obviously them winning on the field and, you know, just kind of the nature of people having interest? Or is there something schematically that they've done differently to kind of change how they've recruited over these last few years to kind of get the guys that they want?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting with recruiting because it's changed dramatically. With NIL becoming a thing, you're seeing more and more programs kind of shift their staffs to more of a professional model where you've got coaches that coach on the field, and then you've got personnel, and you've got a general manager, you've got a director of player personnel, you've got scouts, and it's almost two entirely separate entities that work together, right? The coaches coach, the scouts, the GM make the decisions on the roster. It's not fully to that dynamic at Utah, but Utah, they do have a general manager, Robert Blecken. They do have a director of player personnel. They have scouts. They have that sort of thing where they manage a lot of the roster evaluation. So you've seen changes in that front, and that's in part because of, you know, what we're seeing with NIL. You know, the general manager will handle a lot of those NIL conversations. And that allows coaches to focus on, you know, what happens on the field, focus on the relationships, you know, with the players, because, you know, recruiting now revolves so much around NIL. It's often the first topic of conversation that recruits will bring up with coaches. And so, you know, recruiting, having good recruiters isn't the same as what it was, you know, 5 years ago when we're talking about Sharif Shaw developing a tremendous relationship with, you know, a Jalen Johnson or a Clark Phillips, and that being the reason for a commitment and that sort of thing. You know, NIL is the driver now, but relationships for coaches is still important. It's just now more important in retaining that talent that you bring into the program. So that's kind of another dynamic shift that we've seen as a product of, you know, the NIL and all that. But in terms of just, you know, those sort of changes, that's what we've seen from Utah. They have kind of embraced that sort of model. And then being more aggressive earlier in the cycle and getting guys locked up and to build that momentum moving forward.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate that. Obviously, people know where to find you, but just tell me a little bit about what you're planning this offseason, kind of what you're looking at as you go into the offseason.
Surviving. That's it.
No, I'm just kidding.
It'll be, you guys know where to find me on Twitter, sbarrell247, udzone.com, all of that stuff, right? We're going to have a lot of content over the next couple months as we get into fall camp, with recruiting being the focus, the transfer portal right now. That'll last till May. And then we'll get into June, and that'll be recruiting and all these official visits. And then fall camp kicks up, and then, you know, we're off and running into the season, baby.
Let's do it. You can also check him out at the Utah Blockcast. He's pretty good there too.
Yes, sir.
If you want to hear him on the podcast. So, no, but anyways, I appreciate you guys, Steve. I appreciate you coming on this week, and we'll catch everybody next week, and we'll continue to go through this as we get into the off season. Have a great one.